In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Christos Anesti. Good. Today is the fourth Sunday of the Pentecost period, and the church, the theme that is chosen for this week, the theme of Christ is light of the world. And as we read in the passage, the gospel passage from today, the Lord told us, walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. We all know that light is dispels or disperses darkness, and we call darkness simply the absence of light. But the Lord here is describing darkness as something that is in pursuit of us, that is after us. And the only way that we can be protected from this darkness that pursues us is having the light of Christ. And I'll remind you what the Lord told us. He said first that He is the light of the world, and then He says to us that you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. So He wants the light that is in us to reflect His light to the rest of the world. But we need to beware of the darkness that is in pursuit of the light that is within us. So I'll speak this morning briefly about what are some of the darknesses that challenge the light that is within us. The first challenge is the challenge of worldly knowledge. Now, knowledge is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. As long as we use that knowledge for the edification of our brethren and the glory of God. There's a saying that says, knowledge is power. So if I use this knowledge to gain power and authority over others, then this knowledge can be a source of darkness in one's life. I'll remind you of the light that Christ or God gave to all of humanity when He created us, this gift of reason and creativity. And this was in every person. So it happened after the Lord had flooded the world at the time of Noah, that the people used the knowledge and gift and the light that God has given them to rebel against the commandment of God and against God. So they built the Tower of Babel, as you remember in Scripture. So they used the gift and knowledge and light that God gave them for something to rebel against God. If you also remember Eve, when she was tempted, Satan told her, if you eat of this fruit, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So you won't need God again for your source of knowledge and the source of your light. You can be your own light. And this was very tempting to her, and this is why she ate of this fruit. She was curious what it would be like to have one's own light. And St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Knowledge can puff up. If I use knowledge to simply boast my ego, then this is a source of darkness, or can be a source of darkness in one's life. Also, Solomon the Wise tells us, he who increases knowledge will increase suffering. The type of knowledge used for pride and self-indulgence is a darkness that can overtake the light within us. The second challenge is the challenge of distraction and digital overstimulation. This day and age, this is rampant. They have screens everywhere and anywhere. And in some places, even in restrooms, they have screens. This consumes our valuable time. When one is overstimulated, over-addicted to screens and just digital content, it can rob us of valuable time. It can decrease our ability to concentrate, because with the flashing light, you change from one app to another, one screen to another, and it doesn't allow us to be able to concentrate on one thing. We always want something new. And this is the whole premise behind this YouTube Shorts and TikTok and all of these things, is instead of having you watch a two or three minute video or a 10-minute, 30-minute video, you're watching just short clips to give you this short burst of dopamine every time you watch. Again, this is to produce more addiction in us. That's why you'll find for the young people, maybe even as well as the older people, that they're rather like, apps like TikTok and Instagram and YouTube Shorts because of this short burst. The stuff that takes longer is no longer as popular. Listen to what the Lord warns us. He says, take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, or like partying, drunkenness and cares of this life, that the day come upon you unexpectedly. The day here is the day of judgment. But I want to emphasize the part where it says drunkenness, right? Yes, drunkenness is meaning here alcohol, but it can also mean any kind of intoxication. And this digital content is the new type of intoxication of this present age. And this dulls, just like the regular intoxication, this also dulls our bodily senses and also our spiritual senses as well. It dulls the bodily senses because when somebody's indulged in their digital content, they're not very aware of their surroundings. For those of you or parents who know of your children who play video games, do you, when you call their name, do they answer from the first time? Very rarely. You may go call them over and over again and they never answer. And there seems like they're in another world. Or if they're on their phone, communicating with somebody or watching something, you call their name as if they're not even there. So this kind of, you know, dulls our bodily senses as well as our spiritual senses. In Psalm 103, the psalmist says, I will set nothing wicked, this is his prayer, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. It shall not cling to me. And if you look at the devices that we have, it's maybe the enemy's way of having these things cling to us. How many of us, if we left home without our phone, would turn right back around and go get it, even if we're late for work or school? Many of us would do that because these things now cling to us. I'll remind you what St. Paul said. He said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So of all the things that are lawful, and these devices, they're nothing in itself unlawful, because you can use them for good as well. So this would apply here, okay, is what I'm using and how I'm using this device, is it helpful, and is it something that keeps me under its power? The third form of darkness that pursues us is the affinity for darkness itself. Look what the Lord says to Nicodemus. He says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. This affinity for darkness, you'll find, you know, is kind of, it's around, but it's kind of tries to go undercover, because it doesn't want to reveal itself. It doesn't want to be exposed. This is the willful rejection of the light of Christ, and this is evident in those who know the truth and know what's right, but don't want to change. So this is rejection blatantly of the light. And also it's revealed in the love of sin or the love of one's self. So sin is not just simply an act, but it can be also a preference. There are those who prefer to live and delight in sin, even if they know that it offends God and harms him. This attraction or movement towards darkness will rob us of the light of the Holy Spirit that is within us. You'll find in some strange, you know, phenomenon sometimes, you'll find when we speak with some young people about relationships, maybe about, you know, the future spouse, there's an element of risk that they want to take. They want to, like, get somebody who's, yes, is good, but has a risky, or she has a risky bad side, this darkness, because they want to have one foot in and one foot out. And again, this is just a sign of immaturity, and again, should keep us in mind that, okay, I should not want to get into a relationship if this is what I'm looking for, right? The darkness will creep up on us and will overtake us. Look what the Lord reveals to us. The way that we break from this darkness, or the pursuit of this darkness, he says what? For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So it's evident here that the way to combat this pursuit of darkness is to expose it, to reveal it, to speak about it, to confess about it, right, is to expose it. Repentance exposes this darkness that is within us. The fourth darkness that challenges the light that is within us is peer pressure and bad company. The Lord says in Matthew 10, verse 17, he says, beware of men, or beware of people, and beware of their influence, beware of their effect on us. Many times we say or do something we regret later because of another person's influence. We might have a friend who influenced us to say something bad about another friend that I later regret and say, I wish I would have never said that. But because so-and-so was egging me on, I repeated it. We need to be aware of the influences of others who are around us. And now it's in our nature to influence and be influenced because we're human and we have this, you know, camaraderie together and we like to have fellowship with each other. So it's in our nature, but we need to be aware whether this influence is bad influence or whether it's a good and positive influence. The Pharisees were an example of those who put pressure on others, even the rulers, so they wouldn't follow Christ. Look what he says in John 12, the gospel from today. He says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him." So even among the rulers of the Jews, the Pharisees and Sadducees, there are some individuals who believed in him. But he continues and says, "But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." So this bad company pressured the few who wanted to really get to know Christ and follow him. They pressured them in not following him because they themselves love the praise of people more than the praise of God. And if you look at the story of the man born blind, you see the two contrasts. You see the man who was born blind, who was willing to give up his fellowship and community within the temple, even with his parents, and who was kicked out of the temple. And then you look at his parents, on the other hand, who are able to even denounce their own son and protect him when he needed protecting, simply so because they were scared of the Pharisees. So they abandoned their son because of the influence of others. So we must be aware of peer pressure and bad company that can be a source of darkness that pursues us to choke the light that is within us. Number five is the hatred and unforgiveness. And this is a darkness that pursues us. Look what St. John, the beloved, he tells us. He says, "He who says he is in the light hates his brother is in darkness until now." So if I say that I hate my brother, I'm in darkness until now. I'm not in the light. "But he who loves his brother abides in light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes." There's a false claim that maybe some of us, we convince ourselves of, saying that I hate X, Y, and Z, this person, and I can still abide in light and know my way, but I hate this person. This, again, is a false claim. We try to blind ourselves, thinking that we can do this, but we can't. And he simply clearly tells us here, there's no fellowship with hatred and love. Will we find in heaven those who hate each other? We will not. It's incompatible. So hatred is incompatible with heaven and incompatible with the light. So if the hatred creeps into my life and in my heart, know the darkness is pursuing us. If you remember the story of Saul, who was chosen king of Israel, and God is with him in the beginning. But as soon as David killed Goliath and the people started chanting, you know, Saul has killed 1,000 and David is 10,000, he became jealous and hatred began to creep in his heart. And this darkness pursued him until it consumed him. So his whole time after this, as king, his primary concern was not the enemies or the Philistines, but how to get rid of David. How to get rid of David. Because this darkness began to consume him. And we know the end of the story. The sixth darkness that can pursue us to overtake the light that is within us is the darkness of indifference. Look what St. Cyril of Alexandria, he says. He says, "We must therefore not scorn the divine gifts." The divine gifts are like the work of the Holy Spirit that is within us. Okay? "But rather set great store by what we have from God. The gift we will please to dwell in us when we show interest. But if by contrast we prove indifferent and remiss about it, it will completely take its leave." So he says, okay, you've been given a gift of the Holy Spirit to work within you. If you're indifferent to this gift and the works of God within you, then he says, then he will leave. He will leave. If I'm indifferent to it, then he will leave because we must hold it in high honor and revere it. This darkness of indifference happens often when we are indulged in comfort and in spiritual laziness. These two things. You'll find indifference comes when there's an abundance and also when there is a laziness, a spiritual laziness associated with that. This is why in the book of Amos it says, "Woe to those who are at ease in Zion." Woe to those who are at ease in Zion is the place where God dwells, where the temple was. He says, okay, those who stand in front of God and are at ease because of their comfort our spiritual laziness, there are two things that happen. There's no hunger anymore, and this is how I know if I'm in this category, is if there's no hunger for holiness anymore, and also there's a sorrow for the world's sin. There's no sorrow for the world's sin. When I sin, it doesn't bring me sorrow. This is how I know I'm indifferent. Whether I do good, whether I do evil, it's all the same to me, because one, perhaps I'm indulging in comfort, and then there's this spiritual apathy or laziness. And this indifference is darkness. And why is it darkness? Number one, you'll find that this darkness will show itself in neglect in prayer and partaking of the sacraments. I'll be lazy in my spiritual canon and my spiritual rule. There'll be a lack of compassion for others. When I see somebody who is hurt or harmed, there'll be a lack of compassion. There'll be ignoring of sin in others and in myself. I just look at sin around me and I just dismiss it. And when I do my own sins, I dismiss them as well. So I'm indifferent, regardless. And also, I would rather choose the path of least resistance. Again, this indifference chooses the path of least resistance. I don't want to fight. I don't want to struggle. So I'll do the easy way. If the people around me are doing things that are good, I'll do something that is good. If they do something that is bad, I'll just do something bad. I'm indifferent, right? This is the darkness that will overtake us and will consume us. The last darkness that can pursues us to overtake us is the darkness of ignorance to the light. Again, from the gospel today, the Lord says, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. So his word will judge those who reject him. And our ignorance will judge us in the last day. And it's not the ignorance that I can't acquire or I can't have, but it's the ignorance that I can have but I choose not to have. I'll say that again. It's not the ignorance that I cannot attain. Maybe my mind doesn't grasp certain things, but I try, but I can't grasp it. That's not going to judge us. What's going to judge us is the ability of which I can grasp them, but I don't and I choose not to. For example, reading scripture. Right? I can read the scripture, and maybe there are things I don't understand, and there are things that I do understand. People will say, okay, because I don't understand it, I won't read anything at all. But then what about the part that you can understand? You'll be judged on this. So my negligence in not reading, because I can understand some things, will judge me in the last day. This is why Hosea said, or God said on the mouth of Hosea, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Christ said that he is the light of the world. And he came to expel the darkness. We said that the darkness is pursuing us. And there are certain darknesses, there are many of them, but the ones we spoke about this morning that try to overtake us are the worldly knowledge that puffs up, the distraction of digital overstimulation, the affinity for darkness itself, the likeness for things that are dark, peer pressure and bad company, the hatred and unforgiveness, indifference to whether things are good or bad, and lastly, the ignorance of the light. May the light of Christ shine within us, and let us recognize if there's any darkness that is pursuing me in my life, to change that course by exposing myself more to the light, that he may enlighten me and expel the darkness. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.